Mimi Planche has found her work on the likes of First Lady Michelle Obama, Janelle Monáe, and Rihanna. She's a fashion designer, an American of Ghanaian descent, and her work has recently found its way into a gallery. The Spelman College Museum of Fine Art has presented the work of 20 Black women designers in their exhibition, Africa Forecast, Fashioning Contemporary Life. And Mimi Planche and two other artists will be part of an artist talk tonight. Mimi, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh,
thank you.
Thrilled to have you in your stylish self. I wish you all could look into your radio speakers and see what this lady is wearing. Well, how were you approached to participate in Africa Forecast?
I've known Andrea for a while. I was doing a master class at SCAD University.
This and, is Andrea.
Andrea Bromwell, the curator of Africa Forecast. And I met her a long time ago. She saw my work and she always stayed in touch with me. And she told me about 2 years ago that she wanted to put together this this amazing show featuring designers and artists from the diaspora. And she was always talking about my work and how it was a little different from what she had expected of African designers and how I was showcasing things in a different way. And she really wanted to bring it to light. And we stayed in touch. She came to my studio in New York, and now we're here.
Wow. Well, could you tell us about your pieces in the exhibit?
Yes. So we have three dresses in the exhibit, and they range, there's a few leather pieces, and there's also a satin gabardine piece. And what's interesting about the pieces that they chose for this exhibition is that they're based on scarification.
Yeah.
So I was born in Ghana, and my mom has a scar on her cheek, and I was always fascinated by it, and I asked her, you know, where did she get it from? And she said when she was 13, she got it as kind of like a ritual, some kind of coming of age marking. And some of her siblings also have the markings as well. So I started studying them and I found them to be really beautiful across from West and from East Africa. It's very architectural. It's very geometrical.
Would you explain just Yes. briefly for listeners who might not be familiar with scarification?
So scarification is an old practice. It's no longer practiced anymore. It's not supposed to in a lot of, it's been banned in a lot of African countries.
Because it's painful?
Because it's painful and because it was done without, you know, early in age, you know,
Yes.
you don't get to choose if you want it or not, which is the biggest problem of it. But it's the cutting of skin to make patterns in your body. And it was seen not only as a ritual, but also aesthetically beautiful and also as a form of sensuality. It was thought that if you touched the markings, it made, you know, made lovemaking, you know, more sensual. So, I mean, these are practices that, you know, culturally from pre-colonization was just seen as a form of beauty. But it's really the cutting of a skin with either a sharp knife or a chopped up coconut, and they cut patterns into your skin. And it can be done intricately. It can be done harshly to create keloids so that there's texture. There's all different forms of doing it. And so I'm particularly interested in the scarifications from the Benin culture because they're very fine and very, very beautiful. And I do understand there's a lot of controversy around it, but I'm just looking aesthetically at what it is and kind of translating the patterns on the skin into our garments.
Okay, so they're on the garments. You're
Yes.
not hurting anyone.
No, no, no.
No animals were harmed No. in this process, says
No.
the Hollywood studio.
No, no, no. No harm was done at all. It's just, you know, looking at the materials as now becoming the second skin and adorning it.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Mimi Planche, the fashion designer. Her work is on view at the Spelman Museum of Fine Art. Your guiding philosophy is the democratization of luxury.
For us, when we first started designing, we felt like, you know, we were making really high quality product that was really important to us. And being in the fashion industry, it's a very small industry, and typically the designers in the luxury market who've been able to sustain, they've come from a long history of I guess a small society of like wealthy of the wealthy. And it seemed as if, you know, only a small group of people could dictate, you know, what luxury is. And coming in as a new designer, we felt that it was very hard to emerge and penetrate into that market. And we felt like there's a woman who is not being addressed, you know, the woman that's like me, who may not have come from a very prosperous background, but has been able to, you know, grow and develop my own self and, you know, generate my own sense of wealth. And, you know, who's speaking to someone who wants something that has a little bit of a cultural aspect, but is still highly made in a well-made garment, and someone who's not really interested in logos or interested in being a slave to what's already out there, but their own individual self. So the democratization is just, you know, the idea that the world is becoming smaller in this global with all the social media, and that you can decide what's luxurious to you. And it's not the old world luxury. It's not, it can be something, you know, very new and very interesting, something like what we're proposing in fashion, which is a very different viewpoint as far as like what the aesthetic is and what the inspiration is. But at the end of the day, we're making beautiful clothes. Mm-hmm. And that's what's most important. It's the product.
And, you know, taste and style are not exclusive to the wealthy. In fact, you can find some really poor taste and no style whatsoever that is on vivid display among the wealthy. And this also brings up a question, though, in terms of your wanting to adhere to fine quality. You're wearing a design, one of your own designs, this gorgeous coat with a fabric and a tweed in colors that don't look like anything else you'd find, you know, off the rack. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, the fabric and the craftsmanship that went into it should command a fee that may be more than what some people can afford. How do you achieve that balance?
So the thing is, we don't want to make clothes that are just so expensive that a lot of people cannot, you know, come and touch the brand. But when you're a designer and you want to create things that you believe in and what you love, you also don't want the restriction of, oh, I can only use this fabric or I can only do this. And so the taste level, what I'm being attracted to, I'm not necessarily going for something that is expensive, but it's just that the details that I want to put into the work of the workmanship of the fabrics, you know, they just tend to, we work a lot. We make everything in New York. We have small you know, factory that works on everything.
No sweatshops with 4-year-olds in another part of the world.
No, no, no. And we also actually have worked with fabrics that have been made from women's collectives in Burkina Faso from the Ethical Fashion Initiative. And so the attention to detail is what warrants it. But with that said, we also, you know, find it important to be able to make product that a lot of people can also wear. So we balance out the collection and just, you know, it's a matter of SKUs, which, you know, just is just the balance of the merchandising. And we make sure that, you know, we create things that are accessible, but then we also create things that tell our story just exactly the way we want them told.
Beautifully. Have you met the First Lady?
I have met the First Lady.
Right. Tell us.
Well, I met the First Lady during the celebration of design dinner that she actually had at the White House for all the designers that have ever worked with her. She invited everyone. And it was also not only just to celebrate, but there were a lot of organizations, a lot of students there who wanted to be in the arts. And so several of the designers also partook in doing different seminars and talking about how they became a designer. And, you know, just a lot of different events were going on. So it was also very, you know, inspiring. And then just to be around all the designers, and she met every single one of us. And it was amazing, you know, and she's always been such a huge champion of young designers. And I mean, for us, it was a dream, you know, I can't even like.
She breathes style.
Yeah, she does. And it's effortless, and it's who she is. And it was just natural, you know. And so, yeah, she's amazing.
That's great. Well, there's something in the exhibition. I understand you are very attracted to Victorian era fashion. And when you think about, you know, the 19th century, pretty much everyone on the planet who had wealth and power and wore good clothes was white and from Europe, for the most part. Do you try to flip that assumption when you venture into channeling Victorian era style?
The reason why I particularly love Victorian era styles, because during that period and a little bit before that, that was when a lot of traveling and mixing started happening in a lot of the African countries.
Albeit for colonization.
Yes. Specifically, like, I can give references to Ghana. There's a style of dress we call the Kaban slit, which actually was taken from, that's when the influence of fashion was really coming from Europe and starting to change the way that a lot of people were dressing. And so I did a collection in 2012 based on the Herero tribe, which is in Namibia. And they are women who, till this day, they dress in a German Victorian style. To this day, they still dress the same with petticoats underneath in the hot, you know, sun.
Oh, wow.
And big floral dresses. And I was just so amazed by it. And so that period of time did have a significant impact on fashion throughout Africa, I believe. And so that's why that's something that I've always referenced. And I use it a lot in my prints. That's where I use old Victorian illustrations, cutouts, and things like that. And I mix it all together.
Well, you know, there's so much history and this aspect of globalization, of shared traditions and style and customs, it is not a bad thing at all.
No.
Do you think that not everyone is as intentional with wardrobe or what accompanies it as Mrs. Obama, but do you think people should be more conscious or attentive to fashion?
I think that even when you say that you don't love fashion or you don't like fashion, but if you have clothes on your body, you're fashioning your body, you know, whether you want to or not. And to me, clothing is almost like a language. You know, it's how you're presenting yourself. You know, it's how you people are perceiving you when they've met you for the first time. You know, we want to say that we don't want to judge people by the surface, but a part of you will always look at the surface of the individual before you go deeper.
It's part of your identity.
Yes, it's just part of your identity. So to me, it's you're speaking with your clothes all the time, and they are actually quite important. Even if you just wear black jeans and a black T-shirt all the time, you're saying something. You're saying, I don't care. I'm not thinking that much about it. You're explaining yourself somehow
through
the clothes.
And you can tell that you've lived in New York, Mimi, because of all those black T-shirts and black everything. We need to put more color in New York.
In New
City.
York?
Yeah.
Yes, we love black. I actually love black in New York, too. But, I mean, I just think, you know, people also like uniforms. They like ease, you know? So I think sometimes you fall into this, I'm going to wear black all the time. It's just easy. I know that I can just put it on and, you know, and go. And so I think people also like their, you know, their uniforms.
I wish time weren't up, but you have put fashion on the frontier of change, and you've done it in such an artistic, glorious way with style. Mimi Planche, thank you.
Thank you.
Mimi Planche's work is featured in the Spelman Museum of Fine Arts current exhibit, Africa Forecast, Fashioning Contemporary Life.